Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Tezvav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amid Beis, towards the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Hamaka if Kela Vesvarov B'yad Acher. Somebody is able to recognize that his tools, his Svarim, are in the possession of somebody else. And as Tosfos Rid points out, he has Edom that will back up this contention. And the person is claiming that this was stolen from him, and everybody knows that he has therefore had a geneva. Yishova halakeach, and now somebody's holding on to this object, and he says, "I bought it." He didn't know that the person he bought it from had stolen it. Says the Mishnah, and we'll discuss this very extensively in the Gemara, Yishavaloi, the person who purchased it, should swear kamenosan, how much he paid for it, and the owners should pay for the amount that he laid out, and then they could take back what rightfully belongs to them. Tosfos Yontif explains that why did our Mishnah have to speak about both Svarim and Kalim? He says that because the Mishnah spoke about Svarim, it was speaking about, we're learning, and we're going to speak about this extensively in our shir today, that we're referring here to a situation where the owners were not Miyash. Because by Svarim, people normally are not Miyash under Svarim. And teaches us the Mishnah that the same thing, the Kalim we're talking about, a Kalim that he was not Miyash. On the other hand, when the Mishnah would have only said Svarov, we could make a mistake that by Svarim, the owners are believed. Because normally who steals Svarim and nobody's Miyash on Svarim. But Kalim isn't necessarily the case. That's why when Mishnah mentioned, says the Tosfos Yontif, both Kalim and Svarim. The Mishnah says that the purchaser of this item has to swear how much he paid. And the Paiskim explain that this Shvua is not a Shvua deraisa, but it's a very strong Shvua. The Rajba, quoting a Yerushalmi, says that this Shvua is a special Takonas Chachamim, a special rule that Chazal instituted, that somebody under these circumstances has to make this type of a Shvua. Vimlav, but if there was no call, if there was no rumor in town that there was a geneva here, lav kolim noim, then he's not believed to say that it was stolen. Sheni oimer, for we need to be concerned, shemachon l'acher, that the person who's claiming that he is a victim of a geneva is really not the victim of the geneva. And what happened was he stole it. The person who purchased it fair and square, and now the person who has it, who sold it, is upset that he sold his object, and that's why he's making this type of a claim. Ask the Gemara, the chiyotz l'shem geneva be'ir ma'ihava, even if everybody knows that there was a geneva here, leichesh duma zivninu, why should we not be concerned that he sold it? And now he's the person that is spreading a rumor. Now he's the person that's spreading the rumor that this is what happened. Answers the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda. Amar Rav. The quest of the Mishnah is not that there's just some sort of a rumor that there was a Gneva in town. And because there's some sort of a rumor there's a Gneva in town, we right away need to be concerned about the rumor. But what happened here was, there were people that came to visit him, and in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, this host starts to yell, "Nignav kayle," so that somebody, that these guests stole. Says the Gemara, why do we necessarily believe him? Koshke, certainly on these circumstances, should we not be concerned that Ela Matzah, He was always trying to come up with this kind of a situation. So what he did was he made this rumor to specifically be able to make this false claim. So says the Gemara, Rav Kahana Masayim Ba Mishmei the Rav. So Rav Kahana says that what happened here was, Kigan Shosh Machteres Chatur B'Toch Beisai, there was a tunnel under his home. Ubnei Adam Shalona B'Toch Beisai Yotsu Ven Karis Shekel Malkasayim, and the people who were his guests were leaving his home with bundles on their shoulders. V'Hakol Oimrim, and everybody notices, therefore, the Nignava Kelim Shel Pliny, that his Kelim was stolen. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma Kelim Vishava, why should we be concerned? Maybe we should be concerned there were only Kelim, but how do we know Svarim Lahava? How do we know it was Svarim? And therefore, again, our question comes back. Maybe this whole thing is just a way for him to make a false claim. Says the Gemara, Amr Chibar Abba Amr Yochan, Kigoyin the Kamri Nami, that everybody in town recognizes and says that what happened over here was that there was Svarim, says the Gemara. Even if everybody says there was Svarim, and that's why we should be indeed believing them, the Delma Zutri, maybe the Svarim and the Kalim that were taken were small Svarim and Kalim, not that valuable, the Katayin Ravim. And he's claiming that they were big, expensive Svarim. So we again have the same question. Amar Rav Yosef Chanina, the Kamri Sefer Pliny Pliny, that they able to identify that this was the Sefer that was stolen. But ask the Gemara, saying similarly, V'dimah Havatiki, V'kantayin Chaniti. Maybe they took out old Svarim, and he is saying that there were new Svarim, and presumably what the Gemara means to say is that new Svarim are more expensive than old Svarim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, the Mishnah speaking about a case, Kigoyin de Amru, the people, as things were being removed from his house, people were able to say, Kigoyin de Amri, the people were able to say, Halor Kalev Shaplani, everybody was able to recognize and identify exactly what was stolen. And since everybody's able to identify and recognize what's stolen, we don't have a reason to be concerned that what he said is not true. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Hachi. But now the Gemara said that our Mishnah was speaking about a case where there was a tunnel in his home. Ask the Gemara if there was a tunnel and somebody entered through the tunnel. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Hachi, is it Rav's opinion that somebody exits through a tunnel will be chay for Geneva? But ask the Gemara, Hamar Rav, doesn't the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Ayin Beis Amin Aleph teach us, Bama Machteris, if somebody comes through a tunnel, the Notel Kalim V'yotza, and he steals and he leaves the house, Potter, he's not obligated to return it. My Tama, what's the reason? B'demei Kananu. The Halacha, as we're going to learn in Masechta Sanhedrin, is Haba Lahargacha Hashkein Lacharga, that if somebody comes to kill you, you may kill him in self-defense. And therefore, this person who came through a tunnel into my home, the Halacha teaches us that I am allowed to kill him. Since I'm allowed to kill him, we have here, asked the Gemara, isn't this a situation that we speak about very often in our shiurim of Kimle B'drabnei, because the Ganef is going to be chayiv misa. And the Mefarshim explain that the person who's entering my home knows that if he catches me, he's going to kill me, and therefore he is ready to kill me, and therefore I'm allowed to kill him. But the Mefarshim ask a question, when is there such a halacha? If somebody enters my home, sneaks into my home, so the halacha is, if somebody sneaks into my home, the halacha is I'm allowed to do whatever I need to do to protect myself. But here, the person didn't sneak into my home. As we're learning, he was invited into my home. And therefore, why would be allowed to kill him? So some explanation, he says that there's still the concern that this ganef out of his desire to steal. Since he has such a strong desire to steal, even though he came in with permission, he'll still be ready to kill me. So ask the Gemara, how can we speak in our Gemara? What will you be responsible for if he enters your home this way? You won't be responsible for anything because he's Chayiv Misa. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mila de Kanina, when is that halacha? As we just said, the Baba Machteris, he walked in through the tunnel. The Mikara Masa Nafshalik Tala, when he snuck into the house, he knew that he was putting his life into jeopardy. Aval Hani, since but these people that came in not that way, Kivan Lai Masa Nafshalik Tala, the Gemara says, they came in through the front door, so to speak. So they weren't ready to give up the life. Since they weren't give up the life, Loi, you have no right to kill him. And since you have no right to kill him, this would not be a situation of Kimleib de Rabbanei. Says the Gemara, furthermore, Amar Rav, Loi Shanu, that the halacha that we have to have Edim say that these are this person's Kalim, that these are this person's Svarim, Ela Balabais Oslamika Kalev. Person who has many times sold his kalim, has many times sold his svarim. If you have somebody who doesn't usually sell his kalim, so then says the Gemara, says Rava, everything that we just learned in the Gemara wouldn't be applicable. The halacha doesn't require that we should be so concerned that he maybe stole it. But ask the Gemara that he's just setting up a rumor that it was stolen from him where it's not true. Says the Gemara, V'dilma itzrach le'zuzu v'zabin. Ask the Gemara, why are we being so lenient? Why should we not be concerned that even though this person does not normally sell what's his, here he sold what's his at a one-time situation. So why are we so quick not to be concerned? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, let's remember how we began this year. How Yirei Yotzer Lav Shem Ganeva Beir. At the end of the day, that there was a rumor that there was a Ganeva here. It's not like we have no basis for this concern. And since it's not a situation where we have absolutely no basis for such a concern, that's why the halacha, and we know that this person normally doesn't sell his objects, that's why we automatically believe him when he says they were stolen. Itmar, Gonov, Umachar. What? The halacha, somebody stole something, he sold it, Vachka Chuka Aganov, and then the owners are able to identify the stolen object. Rav Mishmeid Rav Chia Omer, Hadinam Aration. The only person that the true owners of this object have a claim against are with the Ganov. Rav Yochanan Mishmeid Rav Yana Omer, Hadin Im Hasheni. The halacha is that they go after the second person who's actually holding the stolen object. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Loi Pligi. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not really arguing. Kan lifnei yish, if the purchaser bought the stolen object from the Ganav before it was yish, then hadina masheni, that they could go after the second, after the person who bought it from the Ganav, because he didn't become the owner of this object. He didn't become the owner of the object because there was no yish, kan lach yish. But if there was yish, so there hadinam arishin. He could go after only the first person because the second person who bought it from the ganef bought it after yish. If he bought it after yish, it's legitimately his, and you can't go after him. And comments the Gemara, but tavayu isle d'Rav Chisda. Going back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta, where we learned that if somebody stole something and he sold it, the victim could go after either of the two parties. He could go after the ganef, or he could go after the person who bought it from him. Amalabaya, ask Abaya v'loy pligi, how could you suggest the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are really not disagreeing? Hamatas kuhuna, the halacha is that if somebody shechts an animal, and when he sells the whole insides of the animal, part of the internal part of the animal is the keva, and that the Torah Akdosha teaches us
is matas kuhuna. That has to be given to the kohen. So now, the keva, says the Gemara, is always kalifnei yishtami.
Because since no specific kohen is specifically looking to that keva, he didn't pay for it, he's not certain that it's going to come to him, and yet, upligi, that we still see that Rav holds that the kohen could go after the person who slaughtered the animal, the ganef, were not the person who purchased it from him. Not like Rabbi Yochanan says that when there was no yiush, you could go after either. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph teaches us. Amalai, if the buyer tells the butcher, Mechayli Me'eh Shapara, sell me the insides of the animal, Vayba Matnas, and in amongst what he was selling him was the keva, Nois and Lekayin, the purchaser has to give that keva to the kohen, and he has no right to deduct from the price because the seller could say, when I sold it to you, I did not include the keva because I know you're going to have to give it away. However, if he purchased it by weight, so obviously he paid for the keva, so since the keva is from the matas kuna, the purchaser has to give that keva to the kohen, or magbeloy min adamim, or menakeloy min adamim, and he deducts from what he paid for the weight of that keva. On that amarav, loy shanu shakalatzmai, when is the halacha that he could take off the amount that he paid when he weighed it himself? Av shakalacha tabach, if the butcher was the one that weighed it, and you can't go after the lekeach. So we see that when Rav says hadinim arishin, that you could only go after the ganef, it doesn't make a difference to who's the yish or not. Says the Gemara, that's not the way, says Rabbi Yosef Tabai, that's not the way to understand Rav's opinion. But rather the way to understand Rav's opinion is af dinim atabach. You could go after either. You could go after the butcher, or you could go after the purchaser. The matema ain't matnas kohanim nigzelis. You would say that since the kohanim get the matnas kahuna from shulchan gevoya, we've spoken about this earlier. It's not that I give it the matnas kahuna. It's so to speak, he got it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no gzela of matnas kahuna, and the kohen could take it from wherever he wants. Kamash Malan, that matnas kuna are subject to Hilchas Gezela, says the Gemara, Ulabai Dama Pligi, but says the Gemara, according to Abai's opinion, the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are actually disagreeing. Ask the Gemara, my Pligi, what is the basis of their argument? But Rav Chizda, as we said earlier, we learned earlier, that Rav Chizda's opinion is that you could go after the ganef, or you could go after the person who purchased it from him. That is the subject of the Machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Chizda, you could go after both of them. And Rav doesn't agree with Rav Chizda, and you could only go after the Ganef. Rav Zvid also holds that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are actually arguing, but he has a different interpretation of their machloitis. Rav Zvid Amar, kigoin nesyashu abalim b'yad lekeach. There was Yish, but the Yish only took place after the person who purchased it from the ganef received it. But while it was still in the hands of the ganef, there was no yiush. So what we have here is certainly a situation of yiush and shini yishus. But the machloikas here is, says the Gemara, Bar Kabuski, what is the basis of the machloikas? Marsov, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, yiush v'akach shini yishus. If there was first yiush and then shini yishus, since there was both, then it becomes the property of the purchaser, and the victim cannot go after him. Doesn't make a difference as long as both took place. And I saw that the Tzois explains what is this machlokes about. What is what makes this stolen object become the property of the one that purchased it? Is it the yiush, or is it the shini rishus? So if the shini rishus is what's critical,
So then you have to have the Shinui Rishus first. If, on the other hand, it's the Yush that counts, and the Shinui Rishus is only an added stipulation, it doesn't make a difference which comes first. Rapapa has a third way of explaining the Machloikus Rabbi Yochanan. Beglima, the Kolam Alei Pligi. If it was a coat that was stolen, everybody will agree, the Hadal Mari. It will go back to even the person who purchased it from the Ganef has to give it back to him. But says the Gemara, a new consideration. For Hacha, but also by Takanas Ashur Kamilfagi. The Machloikus Rav Rabbi Yochanan is that Chazal institutes something on behalf of somebody who buys something. Chazal were concerned that for every time I buy something, there is a concern that it may be taken away from me, so you're going to halt commerce, says the Gemara. Rav, Mishmei Rav Chiyah Omer Hadina Marishin, Dina Lekeach Lishkel Zuzi Meganef, the Lekeach could only take back the money from the person he stole from, and Chazal were not concerned, V'loi Osaba, Chazal were not concerned about Takanas Ashok, that if the purchaser, will not have an easy way of getting my money, I'll never buy something. Rav Yochanan Mishmei Rav Yana Amar, Hadina Masheni, Dina Lekeach Lishkel Omer Baal Bayis, the owner of the object wants me to give it back. Yes, I'll give it back, but he has to pay me because Chazal were concerned, says the Gemara, Chazal were concerned that people should want to buy things. And if people are going to, if it turns out that what I bought was a stolen object, and now I'll have to go after the Ganef to get my money, which obviously is difficult to do, people will not want to buy things. So I saw that the Chibina Rav in the Shas HaTshuvas David Mishorim, Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Chof, says that there's a question. What is, when we say Takanas HaShuk, what does Takanas HaShuk mean? That it really belongs to the purchaser, but Taira gave Rishus to the owners to pay him and get back? Or does Takanas HaShuk mean that it was really never his? And since it was really never his, then the halacha will be that yes, Chazal instituted that the true owners have to pay, but even though Chazal instituted that the true owners must pay, it doesn't mean, says the Shibina Rav, that maybe it's truly his until he gets, it's truly his until he gets paid. That much the Shibina Rav wants to suggest. It's not truly his because he bought a stolen object. There's just a new din of Takanas HaShuk. And I was thinking that this question might be related to a question that I saw that the Chashuki Chemed discusses. What will be the halacha where, as we just learned, because of Takanas HaShuk, the person from whom this was stolen, not having any option, is ready to pay the purchaser of the item, but he says, I don't have the money, I don't have the wherewithal to pay for it all now. I'm going to pay for it piecemeal. Can he make such a claim? Can he make such a claim or not? So Rabbi Yoshev suggests, he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev, who Rabbi Yoshev suggests that you can't do that. Chazal said you have to pay. You have to pay in a normal fashion. And paying a little at a time is not considered having paid. Perhaps this question could be connected to the question that the Chibina Rav is discussing. If it's considered really the property of the person who stole it from the Ganef, but Chazal instituted, there's a Takanas HaShuk that you could pay and you'll be off, and then he'll have to give it back to you. If that's the case, so then you have to pay him in a normal fashion. And if you're not prepared to pay him in a normal fashion, you won't be held responsible. He doesn't have to take the money. If, on the other hand, we're going to look at it, that really it's not his. And since it's really not his, he doesn't deserve to get paid. Just Chazal, in order to keep commerce going, made a new rule that the victim should pay him.
So anyway, he pays, even if he just pays him with paying him piecemeal, will be satisfactory. Ask the Gemara, the Sovereign Rav, how can we suggest the Rav doesn't hold the Loyasa Tekanus Hashuk? The Rav doesn't agree to the concept of Tekanus Hashuv. Ask the Gemara, Rav Huna Talmid the Rav Hava. Ask the Gemara, we know that Rav Huna was Rav's Talmud. And what happened was, V'chanan Bisha Gan of Glema, he stole a coat, V'zovna, and then Chanan Bisha, after he stole it, sold it. And also Kamei the Rav Huna, and the owner of that coat, recognized that the coat was in this purchaser's possession. Amalei Lehu Gavra, he told the person who the coat was stolen from, Zil Shari Avitach, give him money and get back your coat. So we see that Rav does hold that of Takanas Hashuk, and the Gemara is saying that if Rav Huna didn't hold of Takanas Hashuk, presumably he got that from his Rebbe. Answers the Gemara, Shana Chana Bisha, Kivin the Lekad L'Shtulumimenei, since the person who bought it will never be able to get the money from Chanan Bisha, that's why it's Kalei Hukadami, and he's entitled to get the money from the person who was stolen. Furthermore, says the Gemara, however, even though we instituted Takanas Hashuk, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, teaches us Rava, Im Ganef Beforsim Hu, if the Ganef is well known, Lo Yosaboy Takanas Hashuk, Chazal did not institute Takanas Hashuk. Because under such circumstances, the person who bought it from him should have recognized that this is a person that's a Ganef. And it's very likely that whatever I bought from him is stolen. And therefore, when I bought it from him, it's the risk that I take for having done so. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara for Chanan Bisha. Chanan Bisha was a Ganef Mefursim, and yet the first one have it, he was famous as a Ganef, and yet we just learned a moment ago Osaba Takaras Hashuk. Answers the Gemara, Nan the first one of Bishusai, he was well known as a bad person. However, Laganavusulam first one, he wasn't necessarily known as a Ganef. We learned Itmar, Ganef Apar B'chayvai. If somebody stole something and used that stolen object to pay off a debt, or Ganef Apar B'hekeifai, he had credit in a store and he used the stolen object to pay off that debt. Le'asubay Takanas Hashuk. Says the Gemara, the Amri, because we could say, Lav Adat Dahani Yevus Lamidi. You didn't give him. When I buy something, so as we learned, we want to be able to keep commerce going. And therefore, since we want to keep commerce going, Chazal instituted Takanas Hashuk. But in a case where I didn't purchase it, I just got it to pay off a debt or credit, that's not a case where we institute Takanas Hashuk. Says the Gemara, Mashkanta, if the Ganef borrowed money and he took this stolen object to use as a mashkin. So says the Gemara, it depends. Shava Masim B'meya, if he gave a mashkin that's worth $200 for a loan of $100, so there, Asba Takanas Hashuk, there we can be certain that the person who lent him the money only lent it to him relying on the mashkin. Shava b'shava, but let's say the mashkin, which is the stolen object, is equal in value to the amount of the loan. Ameima amaloya saban tekanas hashuk. That's not, he wasn't relying on the mashkin, and therefore there's no reason for tekanas hashuk. Mazutra's opinion, however, is also about Takanas Hashuk, that is not also a case of Takanas Hashuk. If Zvina, if somebody bought this object, Shava B'Shava, for its value, it's also about Takanas Hashuk. That's exactly what we've been learning. Chazal wanted that people should purchase things. If, however, it was Shava Mei B'Mosin, if it was something that was worth $100, and he paid $200, the stolen object is worth just $100, and the person who's purchasing from the Ganef paid $200, Rav Sheshi Shama Lo Yosaboy Takanas Hashuk, because obviously this is not a regular business deal. Nobody pays $200 for something that's worth $100. Rav Amar Yosaboy Takanas Hashuk. They did make Takanas Hashuk, because sometimes people overpay for something that they buy.
because they're very interested in that particular object. Vilchus Bekula says them on all the cases that we just mentioned. These are all situations of cameras. And since they're all situations of cameras, we want to continue encouraging cameras. Levar, except for the case, where it really wasn't a business transaction. And since it really wasn't a business transaction, so then there's no concept of Tekanus HaShuk. Says the Gemara, Avimi Bar Gozi Chomed Ravina. Avimi Bar Gozi was the father-in-law of Ravina. Have a mask by Hugava Arba Zuzi. He was saying that somebody owed him 4 zuz. Gonav Glima, and that person stole a coat. Vasa Nil, and he gave it to Avimi as payment for what he owed him. Vaisvei Arba Zuzi Echrina, and now Avimi saw that this person is a good person. So he saw he's a good person, so he lends him another 4 zuz. L'soif, and at the end, Hukar Aganef, it was realized that this coat was a stolen coat. And the victim wants to take the coat from Avimi. Asla Kameid Ravina, they came to ask the question to Ravima, and the Yamsha Shleima says, from here we see that even though a son-in-law is not allowed to be a dayan, is not allowed to be a judge in a case that affects his father-in-law, if all parties involved are agreeable, he may be. And that was the case here. Amar Kamoy, the first four zuz that you received are in the category of what we just learned of Ganav Apar B'chayvai, that if you steal and you use the stolen object to pay off your debt, there's no Tekanus HaShuk. And therefore, the victim doesn't have to pay for it. However, Hanach Zuzi Arba Chuni, the second 4 Zuz, there we're going to say Tekanus HaShuk, and therefore says Shkol Zuzach, you could take, for that we'll say Tekanus HaShuk, and you have to pay Avimi 4 Zuz Vahadaglimi. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Kahana, maybe he gave him the coat to pay off the first debt, and therefore it's considered Ganav Apar B'chayv, Ganav Apar Mezeka. Abba Zub Besrisei Hemnu Hemnei. He trusted him without any mashkin. Keichad Hemne Meikara. So there's no reason for Tekanus HaShuk, because we only say Tekanus HaShuk when it's a mashkin for a loan. Maybe here, where he sees there's a good track record, there's no reason to pay it. Says the Gemara, Gilgal Milsa, this question came, Motel Kamed Rav Amma, Amma Hilksa Karev Kayin, that even the second 4 zuz, he doesn't have an obligation to pay. Avimi could only go after the gazlan. Avimi cannot go after the person who really owns it. Says the Gemara, Nashaw, there was a person who came from the city of Narush. Ganav Sarov, Safri, stole a sefer, Azavni LePupanah, and he sold it to a person from the city Pupanah. And he sold it for a big profit. He sold it B'tamni Zuzi for 80 Zuz. Oza Pupanah, and then the Pupanah went and Zavni LeChazor. He sold it to somebody from the city Chazor, B'meiv Esrim Zuzi. And then, says the Gemara, L'soif Hukar Ganav, it was recognized that this is a stolen object. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Lezel Mori the Safra, let the owner of the Sefer, if he wants it back, V'yavle Lebar Mechuzah, he should give the Bar Mechuzah Tamni Zuzi, 80 Zuz, V'shakl Safre. Also Bar Mechuzah, and this Mechuzah who paid 120, and he only got 80 from the true owner, should take the balance, V'shakl Abon, he should take the balance of 40 Zuz from the people from Anor. Because the halacha, suggests the Gemara, of Tekanus HaShuk was only stated for somebody who purchased it from the Ganif, and not from somebody who purchased it from somebody who purchased it from the Ganif. So the Pupanah, who paid 80, is entitled to the 80 Zuz that he spent. Now that he sold it to the Bar Mechuzah, so the 80 Zuz, instead of the Pupanah taking, will give it to the Bar Mechuzah. But anything above the 80 zuz is not a person who purchased it from the ganif. Since it's not a person who purchased it from the ganif, we don't say Tekanus HaShuk. Maskla Rava Hashta. I don't understand your psak, seriously. If somebody lekeich min a ganif, somebody who bought something from a ganif, So the way I understand the Gemara's question is when you buy something from a ganav, you have to be concerned, is this really belong to the seller? Still, we're saying that there's a takanas ashok, so certainly somebody who's so innocent, because it's lekeach melekeach, he bought it from somebody who purchased it, from the person who purchased it from the ganav, certainly we should say takanas ashok. Ella amarava, lezel mari the safra, the person owns the sefer, the yavle ba'am mechuzah, if he wants to get a sefer back, he has to give the person, the ba'am mechuzah, who spent 120 zuz from it, he has to give him the whole mei of esen zuzi, he has to give him the whole 120 zuz, the shakl safra, and then take a sefer, the lezel mari the safra, and now the owner of the sefer should take the lishkla ba'am mepanah, 40 from the person for panah, the time that he profited these 40 zuz of tamnun, and 80 he should take from the Narsha, from the person who stole it and wasn't entitled to it. Says the Mishnah, two people are walking in the road. Zebaba chavita shel yayin, one's carrying a pitcher of wine. The Zebaba kadish shel dvash, and one is carrying a pitcher of oil, of honey. And as we've discussed in previous shiurim, honey was more valuable than wine. And nizdaka chavish shel dvash, and the pitcher of the honey broke. V'shafach es yayinoy, so the person wanted to save the more expensive product, so he poured out his wine, v'hitzel es dvash l'toychoy, to empty his pitcher, that we should be able to pour the wine into it. Einloy, so what is he entitled to? Ela scharoy, he only has to be paid for what he did, but he's not entitled to get the whole value of the honey. Why is he not entitled to get the whole value? Because nobody asked you to do so. And as I saw, we're going to learn in the Gemara Masechet Baba Metzia, Avidasoi, when we have a situation that you lost something, Vavedas Chaveri and somebody else lost something, Avidasoi Kedemis, you come first. So here too, you didn't have to pour out your honey. And if you did so, you did so at your own risk. And even if you did so, Lufnim Mishur Sadin, you don't have a right to collect for Lufnim Mishur Sadin. Continues the Mishnah. However, if the person who owns the honey was very explicit and he said, Atzel Shulcha, if you want me to pour out my honey and save, if you want me to pour out my wine and save your honey, Atanosli Demei Shali, you have to pay me for my wine, and the person who owned the honey agreed, then Chayv Litanloi, then he has to pay for him. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, what is the Chiddush on the Mishnah? The person can't say that, well, you should have done it even if without this deal. There's an obligation to try to help another Jew. So even if you didn't make this stipulation, you should be held responsible. So teaches us the Mishnah, you can't make a person do something which is lefnim mishur sadin. You can't make a person pour out his honey and lose his honey unless he could stipulate, I want to get paid. Next case. Shotef nachal chamari v'chamar chavari. There was a flood, and it adversely affected your donkey and the other person's donkey. And shalai yafim money, your donkey is worth $100, v'shachavari masayim, and the other donkey is worth $200. And nich ze es shalai, he let this person allowed his donkey to drown in order for Hitzel Chaveri to save the other person's donkey. Ein le'el scharoi. He's only entitled to what the value of his work was. However, if he explicitly said, im amaloi, if he said, ani atzel shalcha, I'll save your donkey. However, the price you'll have to pay for me saving your donkey is atanois l'shali, chayv l'tanloi. And the Rishonim discuss, what does it mean that if he didn't stipulate, you have to pay him? So the Rishonim say, what we take into consideration is, what is the value of such a job? And we also take into consideration the schar b'teila. During this time, he couldn't do anything else. And therefore, that has to be taken into consideration. Says the Gemara, why if he didn't make the stipulation? And the person poured out his wine. Now he doesn't have a claim for the value of his wine. V'mai, w'lei m'lei, says the Gemara, why can't he make a claim? I own the honey because your honey was going to get lost. And since I now took it, it belongs to me. And the Gemara brings a precedent for this. Miloi Tanya, doesn't the Braisa teach this? Harei shayotayim kadiyam kadishemen. Somebody was carrying pitchers of wine and of oil. And he saw that the wine and oil are about, the pitchers are about to break and go to waste. So he's going to say that I have fruit at home. I have to take off truma from that fruit. And he'll say that I'm going to use these barrels that are about to break to be the truma. So the Mefarshim ask, why is this even questionably permitted? One of the important halachas by taking truma, it's halacha by taking challah, it has to be menamukif. I have to take from something that's nearby. And here, these pitchers that are breaking are with me, and the produce I have is at home. So some rishonim explain that only that the halacha menamukif is only l'chatchila. But the Evid, if you took Truma Shleim and Amukav, it's acceptable. That's one teretz that I saw. Another teretz that I saw is that Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, you could take off Truma Maisa Shleim and Amukav L'chatchila, L'kavit Shabbos. And this is when this take place. So the halach is, L'yoyim ha'reiz the Truma Maisa of Sheish L'b'tech Beisi, V'mamar, if he made such a declaration, L'yoyim ha'klum, it's meaningless. So we see that something that's about to get lost is considered hefker. So why is the person who saved the honey not entitled to the honey? It's hefker. Answers the Gemara, Karam Rav Yehuda, as Rav Yehuda explained, that the case here is kshikol beis abad karchala, that there's something around this pitcher, and it's not necessarily going to be all lost. Hachanami, the case of our Mishnah, it's kshikol beis abad karchala, and therefore it's not going to be all lost. We said in the Braisa, Im Omar, if he said the statement that this should be true, that this pitchers that are broken, that are breaking, should be the Truma Meiser for the produce I have at home, the Loch is Loyam Klum, it's a meaningless statement. Ask the Gemara why. For Tanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Misha Baba Derech, somebody's traveling a Mos Biyodin and has money in his hand. Vanas Kanegdoi, and there's a armed robber, a robber coming to him. We know that in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, there's Maisa Sheni. Produce should be taken Shulayim. But also, as we've learned so many times, you could redeem that on money. So the person who's about to lose the money may not say that this money that I'm about to lose should be used, this money that I'm about to lose should be used to be the way to redeem my should be the way to redeem my Maiser Sheni money. Vim Omar, but if he said so, Devarav Kayamim. But the question is, if we're saying that anything that's going to get lost is worthless, if we're saying that anything that we're going to lose is worthless, so why is this considered money that's in existence that you can make this kind of that you can make this type of a statement? Says the Gemara, again, Hachamai Eskinen, where the money is not definitely worthless. B'shiyoch al-hatzel, that you could save the money. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're speaking about a case, B'shiyoch al-hatzel, where you could potentially have saved the money, so then why, L'chatchila mai la-yomer, why did the Braisa say you shouldn't make this kind of declaration? Answers the Gemara, B'shiyoch al-hatzel yedetchak, it's not definitely salvageable, it's only salvageable but with difficulty. And therefore, it should not be l'chatchila designated as the money you're going to use to redeem the Maisa Sheni. Ask the Gemara, the Kol Eke de Heke Hefseida, is it true that wherever there's going to be a loss, l'chatchila l'yoymer, you shouldn't say this? V'tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Harei Shaya Loi Esachavis Yayin, Shotevel, a Levi received Maiserishin. And the halach is that when a Levi receives Maiserishin, he's obligated to take off 10% and give it as Trumas Maiser. So again, it's Tomei wine, and he sees one of these pitchers about to break, the halach is that anything that's left uncovered you're not allowed to drink. There's gilui, because we have to be concerned that a snake drank from it. Omer, so he says on that pitcher, harei trumas on that was about to break, was left uncovered. This should be trumas ma'isa al teshech harasel. This should be the 10% trumas ma'isa I should give for the kohen. Ubeshemen, but if they're full of oil, lo yasakeim and nayefsa kohen, because the oil is going to go to waste. And the Gemara is going to explain that oil that's tamei has some value. And if you're going to designate a trumas ma'isr, it's going to be not usable. Wine of truma can't be used. And since wine can't be used, therefore, we don't care so much. But ask the Gemara, if the wine in a barrel in a pitcher that's about to break is worthless, so why is he allowed to do this? Answers the Gemara, it's not for sure going to break. As we said a few moments ago, on Rabbi Yirmiyahu, it's talking about a case, Shikol Beis Abad Karchala. Says the Gemara, Bishlam and Nishbara, it says the Gemara, I still need to understand. In a case where the pitcher is breaking, Chazya, it could still be usable because the wine won't spill out. El Nizgalsa, but what about a case where it was left open? And as we said, that anything that's left open may not be consumed. So Lamai Chazya, what could it be used for that we say it could be designated as the Trumas Maisa? V'chitemah Chazya Lezulav. They lived in houses where the floor was made out of earth. And since the floor was made out of earth, they wanted to keep it the house from being dusty. They used to spritz wine, says the Gemara. But we learned, Ma'im Shinas Galu, wine, water that was left open, Harez Lo Yishpechayim Rishus Rabim, you're not allowed to pour it out in Rishus Rabim, Lo Yindigavu Benes Atit, you're not allowed to use it even for cement, Lo Yerbetz Benes Bais, you can't sprinkle it on the floor, Lo Yashk Benes Mehemtoi, you're not allowed to use it to feed your animal, V'loy b'emes chaver. You can't pour it on the floor because we're concerned that somebody may walk on the floor barefoot and this poisonous liquid will seep, absorb into your body. Answers the Gemara. The reason you could use it, even though it was gilui, the avalei b'mesanenes, you poured it through a filter. Kereb Nechemya, the Tanya mesanenes. If you have a filter, we have one keli on top of another keli and there's a filter, a sieve between the two kelim. Yesh Shem Gilui, the halacha is that we're concerned that the poison passed through the filter. Aram Nechemya, Emesev is man shetachtar megula. When is this halacha? When the bottom keli is left open. Ab is man shetachtar mechusav, it's covered. Ab is shayyan megula, ein b'mishem gilui. L'fish eres shanachas daim l'svug, it's like a sponge, it's off ayim b'mekayimai. So that's why it's not necessarily not usable, because I could filter it. But ask the Gemara, lav itmalo, have we not learned? Amar Rav Simon, Amar Yeshua Belevi, lo yishana shloi tarku. When is the halacha that it could be filtered if it wasn't mixed? Ava tarkoi, if it was mixed, chaser, because we're concerned that since it was so well mixed, you won't get all the poison out. Answer the Gemara, hasanami, efshad the monach, you pour it slowly through the filter, and if you pour it slowly through the filter, the poison will not go down. From the Chemya, ask the Gemara, from the Chemya mitaminen, is somebody allowed to take truma, that's a barrel of truma that's tamei, as the truma smaisa for the rest of the truma? But Tanya, tamei mena tamei ala tamei, or mena tar ala tamei, or mena tar ala tamei, avol, loy mena tamei ala tar. By demai, which is only chayiv and truman rabbanon, that's where you could take from truman that's tamei for truman that's har. Otherwise, you may not. So the Gemara's question is, how could the Gemara have a discussion that you could take truman tamei from the other, from the rest? Answers the Gemara, says the Gemara, Hachanam Yishal Demai. We're speaking about Demai, and therefore, if it's not going completely to waste, you could take from the Tamei on the Tahar.